This is VK6ARN News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931.
Good morning, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 6th of July, 2025. Now to Ono, VK6FLAB, with another edition of Foundations of Amateur Radio.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Just over a year ago, the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League, the peak body for amateur radio in the United States and one of the oldest of such organizations, experienced an incident. During the weeks following, the ARRL was tight-lipped about the extent of the incident, and most amateurs only really noticed that services were offline or slow to respond. After months of delay and disinformation, the ARRL finally revealed that it was the subject of a ransomware attack, and that it had paid $1 million ransom. It went on to blame the authorities for its silence. Mind you, it didn't tell me personally. It made public statements on its website. Similarly, when I specifically contacted the ARRL to discover what information of mine it held and what the status of that information was, the ARRL responded that I should refer to its public statements. It continued to state that my information was not compromised since it only lived in LOTW, the logbook of the world, the system it uses to coordinate the verification of amateur radio contacts which are used to distribute awards like the DXCC and Worked or whatever. Imagine my surprise when I received an email this week sent from memberlist@ARRL.org to my non-amateur radio email address. I confirmed with several amateurs that they too received this email. Informative, to a point, but likely well beyond anything intended by its author. It stated that LOTW was being updated with associated downtime, incidentally, inexplicably, coinciding with the 2025 ARRL field day, and it, quote, will be fully migrated to the cloud, end quote. It went on to solicit donations. It made no reference whatsoever to the ransomware attack. There's a lot hidden in that email. Although the attack last year was linked to the outage associated with LOTW, the ARRL has continued to claim that the LOTW data was not impacted by the ransomware attack, but the email reveals that the system is being migrated to the cloud. In other words, right now, it's not in the cloud. Which begs the question, where is the server infrastructure for LOTW today? And more importantly, where was it a year ago when its systems were compromised? From a public post by Dave, Alpha Alpha 6 Yankee Quebec, dated the 2nd of February 2021, in response to a message about a January LOTW committee meeting, we know that the LOTW server, quote, now employs the current version of an SAP database engine, end quote. A month before that, Dave wrote another informative email that indicated that 105,000 call signs submitted logs to LOTW in the last 1,826 days, or the 5 years between 2016 and 2021. There were logs from 21,000 call signs in the week prior to that January post. In all, according to Dave, there were 153,246 call signs who submitted contacts to LOTW. The LOTW committee meeting minutes are no longer available from the ARRL website, but I have a copy. The document states that there were 1.2 billion contacts entered into LOTW. Big number, right? The next line tells us that this resulted in 262 million QSO records. I wonder what happened to the other billion records. This activity was generated by 139,000 users using 200,000 certificates. For context, every VK call sign automatically comes with an AX call sign, but LOTW requires that you separately register each with its own certificate. As someone who has been playing with databases since the 1980s, I can tell you that LOTW is a tiny database. For comparison, the Whisper database is an order of magnitude larger, not to mention more active. I have no insight into the business rules within the LOTW database, but the fact that updates are being processed in batches and that it regularly has delays indicates a level of complexity that I cannot account for. As an aside, the LOTW committee document lists 10 members. Dave is not one of those listed. It makes me wonder who else has access to this database. Note that I have no reason to believe that Dave's information is questionable, nor that he has access that he shouldn't. He was, after all, a member of the LOTW committee from 2013 until 2017 when the ARRL removed all development resources from the LOTW. I'm asking who else has access, and why. While we're here, who has been doing maintenance and updates on this system over the past 7 years? Moving on. The database for LOTW contains information from amateurs all over the planet, including those in Europe, where the GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation, enacted in 2016, is extremely strict on the security and disclosure of personal data with very heavy penalties for breaches. The GDPR requires notifications be sent within 72 hours of a breach and that an organisation must designate a data protection officer. I wonder who has that role at the ARRL, and I wonder if they told anyone. Did any European amateurs receive personal notification from the ARRL about their data? I know I didn't. My first activation of LOTW was in 2013, now 12 years ago. I received certificate expiry messages in 2016 and 2019. Since then, there have been no such messages. That's unsurprising since I stopped using LOTW once I discovered just how broken it was. Don't get me started on portable and QRP variants of my callsign. My care factor is low as to when I last actually used it, since attempting to dig up that information would take considerable effort, but I can guarantee that it was before 28 October 2019, when the last certificate expired. You might come to this point and ask yourself, why am I digging into this at all? Let me ask you some questions in addition to those I've already mentioned. SAP, the database system which apparently runs LOTW, had 254 CVEs, or Common Vulnerabilities and Exposures, listed in 2020 alone. It continues to have exploits. When was SAP updated, and is it up to date today? Is it credible that LOTW wasn't compromised during the ransomware attack? Does the ARRL know this for sure, or did it just not detect the compromise? We know that LOTW was down during the incident, and according to the Uptime Robot Service, showed outages on the 14th of May 2024. But we still don't know exactly when this attack started. As you might know, the ARRL is also the headquarters for the IARU International Secretariat, the administration body for the global representation of our hobby. It presumably shares infrastructure with the ARRL, but at no point in the past year have we been advised of the impact of this breach to the IARU. What information is stored in LOTW, and why has the ARRL continued to ignore requests for disclosing the specific information it holds on the users of that system? I know for sure that it knows my call signs and my email address. I also know for sure that it required identity documents to prove my identity and right to use those call sign. I have been told in writing that LOTW never deletes anything. So what does it store, and can I delete all my records, and if so, how? Why did I receive an update about the upgrade for LOTW when I'm clearly not an active user of the system? The member list at ARRL.org is used for all manner of services, including the propagation updates and the three other ARRL bulletins. In other words, this address is used for a myriad of messaging. Is this information stored in a database, and if so, where is this database? Was it compromised? What information is stored in that database? Are my details in that database? Are yours? While discussing this LOTW update email with other amateurs, I was informed by one amateur that even after they stopped being a member of the ARRL, as a direct result of the ransomware attack and the discontinuation of the delivery of QST magazine they paid for, the ARRL continued to send regular email updates as if they were still a current member. Where is that data stored, and how are the ARRL not considered a source of spam? While we're exploring the blurred lines between being a member of the ARRL and not, why did it send the update about the incident via email to its members on 21 August 2024 and update the website a day later, and why did it not send that same email to me and every other amateur directly? Why does the ARRL continue to ignore its obligations in relation to the personal information it clearly and demonstrably holds? The GDPR has been a fact of life since 2016. It's not optional if you store data for European citizens, but the ARRL doesn't even mention it on their privacy policy page. Did European users receive specific notification about the breach, now a year ago, which clearly the ARRL has both the capacity and obligation to? Has the GDPR been invoked by European amateurs? Should it? You could attempt to explain all this as incompetence or mismanagement. That's a response, but it doesn't pass the sniff test. For example, implementing SAP is a non-trivial process. I have over 40 years professional experience in the ICT field, and I'm not sure I would stick up my hand to have a go at doing this. Mind you, if I did, there's no way I'd choose SAP. I'd find an open source solution, but that's just me, not to mention that SAP license costs are significant. This in an organization asking users for donations. The thing is, we're talking about a system that's now at least 22 years old, running in an organization that's been around for over a century. An organization that deals in regulation and legalese at the very foundation of its existence. In other words, there's a massive amount of legal and technical skill and history available within the organization. But we are still seeing this level of, at best questionable, at worst illegal behavior. I'm not a member of the ARRL, and nothing I've seen to date makes me want to give them any of my money. If you are, perhaps you should be asking some questions. If you're a citizen of Europe, perhaps you should start asking some questions about your data. If you pay money to your own peak body, then you should ask it to find out what happened at the IARU International Secretariat during the attack. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Thank you, Ono. Now over to Hayden, VK7HH, with information about the ACMA website and what you must do to not lose your amateur license.
Hey there, guys. So I decided to do a bit of a video on the changes here in Australia with amateur radio. Now, when I say changes, these happened actually quite a long time ago now. These changes were made over a year ago to the way that amateur radio licenses and call signs and exams were given out, or how they were conducted here in Australia. Basically, the ACMA now do everything, and they have all of the information available on their website. But the most common question that I get asked all the time is, well, what do I pay now? How do I renew? I'm not getting renewal notices anymore. I don't know where my call sign is. It's fallen into the ether. All of those sort of questions. So in this video, I wanted to just show you the process that you need to go through in order to register and to renew your call sign, because you still need to renew your call sign. You have to renew it at least every 5 years. You don't need to pay a license fee anymore, but you still need to renew your call sign. Now, what would happen is that if you don't do these steps, then what will happen is in 5 years' time, your call sign will be up for renewal. You won't receive any notification about it. They don't send paper letters anymore with renewals. So you're not going to know, basically, unless you follow these processes and you have everything sorted out from an administrative side to be able to renew. Now, as I mentioned, the ACMA website is the go-to place for you. Now, I'm going to put all the links in the description below, but you can go basically to the ACMA website here. And if you go up here to the little search bar and you put in amateur radio, if you can spell it correctly, like I evidently can't, amateur radio, you've got all of these different search results here. Let's just go to amateur radio. And this will take you here to a couple of search results. So let's just go to the generic amateur radio page. And this has all of the information available to do with amateur radio licenses, including the qualifications you need, the resources, the operating procedures, if you're overseas visiting, if you want call signs, all to do with the new class license, everything like that. So all of the information is available here. Now, a couple of things that I recommend you do before you go into the next portion of this video is here, the amateur radio newsletter. If you actually open this up, you can put in here your details and you can ask to receive updates to do with all sorts of different things that the ACMA look after. Now, one of the things here is amateur radio. So you can tick that, you could subscribe to it, and they will send you updates when they come out of any changes to the amateur radio service. So that way you're always informed, and I recommend that you do that. Now, as far as call signs are concerned, that's the next thing that we were going to deal with. That's probably the most asked question about amateur radio call signs, because you used to be able to go into the ACMA database and look up a person's call sign. You could see their name, you could see their address, you could see when it was issued and how long it's issued for. All of that has changed. If you go to amateur radio call signs down here at the bottom and open this up, this has all of the information regarding call signs, the fees that you pay when you get a call sign. So you don't need to pay for renewal. You only pay when you pass an exam, and you only pay for the allocation of a call sign. So all of that is listed in here. There is an online call register. It's very basic. You could see here that you can search this call sign register by the prefix, the availability, the location. You can see here that there's also contest calls in here, and you can apply for these call signs too. So if we go in here and we search for my call sign, you can see here that it says that it is assigned to advanced. So that's all that you can see now. You can't see their name. You can't see anything like that. So you're going to have to rely on QRZ.com or, you know, those kind of lookup services to be able to view information about a person with a call sign. Now, if you've just got your amateur radio license and you want people to be able to contact you, email you and all that sort of thing, then QRZ.com is pretty much the place where everyone sort of goes to. QRZ.com here, register for that website, and then you can fill out your call sign information. So if I look myself up here in QRZ, here's a little bit of a bio that I've filled out. So you can sort of fill out this information and people can look you up. If you don't want to, then that's completely fine too. You don't have to do that. But you can't rely on the ACMA's call sign database now to look up that information. Okay, now the next question is, well, how do I renew my stuff? What do I need to do? Well, you need to go to the ACMA Assist portal. So there's a button up here, ACMA Assist. You can Google it. Again, there'll be a link in the description below. This is where you register an account. And then what will happen is that you can tie your amateur radio call signs to your account. Now, if I just log in here and I can show you, you'll have to register an account with a digital ID. If you don't have an account, just click sign up now and you can enter your email address and create a password and verify yourself with a digital ID. It's all very straightforward. Just follow the steps and the processes that it gets you to go through. And then once you create an account, log in. So I'm just going to log into my portal and show you what it looks like or what it's supposed to look like. Once you log in, this is what you should see. Okay, not everyone actually sees this, and this is where a lot of the problems come into it. Once you've registered in the ACMA Assist, you should have an amateur radio tab, and you'll have these other tabs here. The first thing that I would encourage you to do is to go into your client information and update all of your details, update your address, update your email, and all that sort of thing. Make sure that they're all up to date. And then if some people will have an amateur radio tab, other people will probably find that they don't have an amateur radio tab. And the reason being is because a lot of it has to do with the email address that you've had previously with the ACMA. If that has changed or it's an alternative email address, they may not have tied your email address to your call sign or to your amateur radio call sign that you had previously. So if that is missing, what you can do is you can email info@acma.gov and .gov.au, I think it is. And then what you can do is you can say to them, hey, I don't have the amateur radio tab, and give them as much information as possible, all right? So give them your name, your address, give them any previous email addresses that you may have had, give them your client ID number if you knew it, your exam result number if you've got it, or any exam result information, as much detail as you can give them to say, this is me, this is the call sign that I used to have, and I don't have the amateur radio tab in my account. This is my email address from my ACMA assist account, and then they should be able to add it for you. And I think that leads to a lot of confusion. But if we go into here and we click manage on amateur radio, in here you can see the list of call signs. So I've got two call signs on in here. I've got VK7HH and VK7HA. And you can see here the dates of when they expire or when you need to confirm them by. Here you can reconfirm, you can surrender, or you can transfer them. You can click on contact details here and make sure that all of your contact details are correct as well. Again, update all of these. You can go back into the call sign register and you can apply for another call sign if it's free, and you can pay for that, and then they will appear here in this portal. You'll have a list of completed examinations. So here's my examination here for my advanced level that's been issued. So the ACMA will have on file your examination numbers and all that sort of stuff. So that's why I said if you don't have this tab, if you provide all that information, they can then cross-reference it and look it all up. Now, I can click reconfirm here, and that should reconfirm my call sign status. So mine's good until 2029, so I've got another 4 years left. So I can click reconfirm if I wanted to now to reconfirm another 5 years. But I'm good with what it is at the moment. If you do have the amateur radio tab and you are missing a call sign that you're supposed to have, you can click locate missing call sign. Here you can enter the email address you previously used for your ACMA records. We need to send a code to this email to address to verify it. So you might have this amateur radio tab, but you've got no call signs listed. If you click on that, enter in the previous email address that you believe you used, it can then cross-reference it and put your call sign in here. But again, with anything, if you come up against any problems and you can't find your call signs or you don't have the amateur radio tab, then all you need to do is just go into the amateur radio page, and here it is, info@acma.gov.au, and just say to them, hey, I can't view my account in the tab, in the account. I don't have the amateur radio tab, and just give them as much information as possible. So this is very critical to do this so that you can make sure that you don't have any call signs all of a sudden just fall into the ether and you forget about them, and then all of a sudden you realize that in 5 years' time, you go to renew and they get cancelled, and then all of a sudden you might hear someone else is using your call sign on the air because they've gone and got it because it's available. So, you know, there's all sorts of problems that could happen. But if you follow these processes, then you can get hold of your call sign and get it into your ACMA account as well. For those who might have let their license lapse and they haven't renewed it in a while, or they're interested in getting back into amateur radio, then you don't need to sit an exam again. All you need to do is just provide the ACMA evidence that you once held an amateur radio license. If you provide your exam results, that's probably the best way forward. The exam results from the WIA or AMC or whoever you went through should have a license number on there, or sorry, exam number. Give that to the ACMA via that email address and just say to them, hey, I was once an amateur radio operator and I'm interested in getting my license again. And then all you need to do is just provide that. So I hope that that kind of helps a little bit, and I hope that I wasn't too confusing. If you've got any questions, then drop them below. If anyone has any problems with being able to get access to the ACMA Assist portal or anything like that, share them this video and just say, hey, check this out. Have you done these steps first? See if you can get in. Last resort, email the ACMA and just say to them, hey, you know, I'm having some issues logging in. This is my email address, all my details, and just provide all that and they'll be able to assist. I've done this with a couple of other amateurs who have had some issues before and they've managed to get into the system and they're all up and running now. So again, just make sure as well, if you do have an account, all of your details are up to date and correct. Now, if you want to learn more about amateur radio in Australia and how to get your license, then we've done a few videos on that. It's a reasonably easy process these days now with no exam fees. That's one key thing. We've done those videos. Check them out over here if you're interested.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
This is a message from VK6 Whiskey India Echo, Wison in Western Australia. The next meeting of Wison is on the 14th of July, so just over a week away. At that meeting, we will be having an activity evening and making the Yagi antenna out of a tape measure and some PVC. It's an activity that will be being led by Kevin, VK6KQ. Come along, enjoy the camaraderie as we learn a bit about making antennas out of tape measures. Where, I hear you ask? Well, First Midland Scout Hall, number 10 Helen Street in Bellevue. Doors open 7 p.m. for a 7:30 p.m. start, and should be an interesting evening. We try to make all our evenings interesting. The AGM coming up is in August, on the second Monday of August, the 11th of August, to be elected to the Wison board for 25-26. You will need to be a financial member. We're into a new financial year by the time of the AGM. $25 a year is membership, and you don't have to be a member except to be voting at meetings. Certainly every amateur is welcome to be involved with Wison Western Australia, and we encourage you to join if you'd like. So the AGM notices will be being put out by Bob, VK6 Kilo Whiskey. You can get hold of Wison in Western Australia through our website at www.wicenwa.org, or by sending an email to wicenwa@outlook.com.au. So I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to getting my hands around some PVC and tape measures. Interesting questions of, do you have the elements flat or vertical, horizontal or vertical elements, thin or wide? What would be the difference? Have a think about it. 73s from Wison in Western Australia, VK6 Whiskey India Echo.
Dear Ham members, it's time to get excited. The Northern Corridor Radio Group, NCRG, is thrilled to launch our 2025 Hamfest fundraising raffle, and you're invited to join in the fun while supporting our club's future. With over $3,000 in prizes up for grabs, this is your chance to win big while giving back to the community that keeps us on the air. Here's what you need to know. Raffle website. Purchase your tickets online at https://rafflelink.com.o/hamfest-raffle-225prize. Pool. First prize. $2,000 Andrews Communications voucher. Choose from a wide range of amateur. Radio gear, second prize, $699 Comtech voucher, upgrade your shack with top tier. EQU IPM, EN to third prize, Elinco DJC RX7H E handheld radio, valued at $229. Fourth prize, $200 Comtech store credit ticket prices, $5 for one ticket, $10 for two tickets, $20 for four tickets. $1.40 for 8 tickets, $80 for 16 tickets, $100 for 20 tickets, $250 for 50 tickets important dates. Ticket sales open June 25th, 2025. Online and cash sales close August 31st, 2025. Cash sales end at 11 a.m. at the Cyril Jackson Recreation. Center permit holder only. Draw date August 31st, 2025. At noon during Hamfest 2025, ticket sales permitted while Conzi, QLD, NSW.say.tas, VicVic61904WA, LS22327402 5, Northern Corridor Radio Groups, Inc., is a responsible community organization following the Gaming and Wagering Commission Act, 1987. Where to view? Results, NCRG website, http://ncrg.info/wp/raffle-raffle-link page. http://rafflelink.com.o/hamfest-225. All ticket packages comply with WOMIA's DRGLS regulations and are processed securely via RaffleLink on behalf of the Northern Corridor Radio Group, Inc. Let's make this raffle our most successful yet. Every ticket sold helps fund NCRG's ongoing projects, events, and upgrades, all while giving you the chance to walk away with some top-notch gear. Act now and grab your tickets before they're gone. The clock is ticking, and the draw is just around the corner on August 31st. Best regards, Matthew McDonough, VK6ML, Vice President, NCRG 04-3602-2860.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's July Bulletin to go to air. But firstly, a word about this month's lunch meeting. The May and June luncheons at the new venue of the 7 Mile Bar and Bistro, located at 501 Wanneroo Road, Balcatta, proved very successful, and the hotel has been rebooked for the July lunch on Tuesday, July the 8th, just 2 days away. The lunchtime meeting starts at 11:30 a.m., for 12 noon meal ordering. If you wish to attend, please email lunch coordinator Alistair, VK6ATXASAP. Alistair's email address is vk6kif@bigpond.com. Once again, that's VK6KiloIndiaFoxtrot@bigpond.com. Full details of how to get to the 7 Mile Bar and Bistro, together with the hotel's website, including menu details, can be found on the new and much improved RAOTC website. Just put RAOTC into your favourite search engine and then navigate to Lunches. Be sure to check the RAOTC Club website for booking and travel information. This month, instead of the usual broadcast, we will offer an historical broadcast from years past by Alan Doble, VK3AMD, from December 2002. The usual news and information will be broadcast next month. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the programme and to join in the callbacks afterwards. Now some local broadcast details. Tomorrow, Chris, VK6JI, will transmit the bulletin on 80 metres on 3620 kHz, starting at 8 a.m. At 9 a.m. local time tomorrow, there's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR network, Talk Group 5. At 10 a.m. local time, the programme will be transmitted via the NewsWest linked repeater system, simultaneously with a 40-metre transmission on 7088 kHz, again by Chris VK6JI. At midday, that's 0400 Zulu, there's a transmission on 28.450 MHz from Mike VK8MA. On Wednesday, July the 9th, we have a D-Star broadcast at about 5:30 p.m. WA local time. This will be transmitted via D-Star Reflector 91C following AR Newsline. On Sunday, July the 13th, repeats of the RAOTC bulletin follow the 80-metre, 160-metre and 40-metre broadcasts of the WIA News. Full details of all transmission times, frequencies and modes can be found on the RAOTC website. If none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club website. Tune in tomorrow for the July RAOTC broadcast, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callbacks. 73 from Clive, VK6CSW.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
This is WAG News for the 6th of July. I'm Mark, VK6 X-Ray Lima Zulu. Well, last week in WAGFest 2025. Over the time frame, probably 70-odd people came through. That might not sound a lot, but it was alive and vibrant all of the time. And a lot of stories, no doubt, were told, tall and true. WAG would like to thank everyone who came along and participated. We'd like to thank Comtec. I had been saying it was a $100 voucher. Steve surprises us with a $150 voucher. I'm sure that the amateur who won that enjoys it very much indeed. A number of first-timers were coming out and met some others, came up to the front table and said hello and made themselves known, and many an old-timer came out of the woodwork. Next opportunity to do that is the end of August, and that's the Northern Corridor Radio Group's Hamfest. But every opportunity is a good one, and if you missed out, think about it for the next one. And the one after, and the one after that. Or you could think about it for tomorrow night. Yes, the next meeting of WAG is tomorrow night, the 7th of July. The meeting is at 1pp. What's that? First Pelican Point Sea Scout Hall, number 12, Australia 2 Drive in Crawley. All the way down past the yacht clubs, that famous, infamous shrubbery. And sharp left before you hit something. Into the car park. Doors will open at 7 for a 7:30 p.m. start. Plenty of time both before and after the meeting to have a chit-chat and tell more stories, tall or true. Tea, coffee and refreshments are available, as always, for a gold coin donation that allows to keep us in coffee. And the milk, and the bickies, the all-important Tim Tams, and assorted other things. Yes, the July meeting of WAG, the West Australian Repeater Group, tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. Yes, you've heard it. The WAG website can be found at www.warg.org.au. And finally, just a reminder about the WAG Technical and General Net having it run every Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. on Perth Repeater VK6RLM 146.750, or Channel 3 in the old money, and on the linked All-Star Hubs. And if you're listening to this in the evening, it's next week. 73's from VK6RRG.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
I haven't had much time to think about what I'm going to talk about this week. It's been one of those weeks. I woke up this morning thinking it was Thursday and I was shattered to find out about lunchtime that it was actually Friday. As I reported last week, Perth Tech 2025 will not be happening. I was far too distracted selling and buying homes and moving out of and into them, and it took far more out of me than I anticipated. A postponement will give us time to review the format, venue and timing of the event. Wearing my other hat, the Rasa one, we expect the July edition of QTC magazine to be published by next weekend. Make sure you read QTC to learn about a new free resource that's been developed by Rasa for the amateur radio community. Yours to use with no strings attached, such as membership or affiliation of your club. QTC contains timely, relevant information for amateurs, is produced entirely by volunteers, and is yours free to download from the RASA website vkradioamateurs.org. I've booked a table at the NCRG Hamfest at the end of August to promote RASA and the free resources that we offer. I'll also be waving the WA Amateur Radio news flag, so please do drop in and have a chat. It's now really difficult for me to catch up regularly with the VK6 crowd, however, what we can offer to clubs is an online presentation where we tell you all about what we are about, what we offer to clubs and especially to prospective or new amateurs. Drop us an email to invite the RASA team to make a presentation to your club using our own Zoom account. Our email address is info@vkradioamateurs.org. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 6th of July 2025. Today I have the following. I have a GME, a Golf Mike Echo UHF Charlie Bravo antenna, model Alpha Echo 4705 Bravo, superb UHF radome type antenna with 6.6 dBi gain and is 1.2 metres in length. Colour is black, comes with complete with heavy duty spring mounting base, fitted with 5 metres of coaxial cable, and is as new condition. Current price $250, yours only for $90 today. The new price $250, yours, your price $90. Also for sale, we have new in the box a Uniden Bearcat 980 SSB 27 meg CB transceiver. Comes complete with noise cancelling microphone, power leads, 12 volts DC operation. Has been bench tested but not tested on air, and it's a nice rig, could be yours for only $50. The asking price new is $300. Have a look at Google, see all the details on there. If you're interested in the items there, the GME antenna or the Bearcat, please contact Clive Wallace. His email address is Charlie Sierra Whiskey Alpha Lima Lima India Sierra at hotmail.com. That's CSW Wallace at hotmail.com. I'll spell again, Charlie Sierra Whiskey Alpha Lima Lima India Sierra at hotmail.com. All items are located in Ballardura. Next item, we're still looking for an ICOM 706 Mark II HF 6 meter, 2 meter, 70 centimeter transceiver by ICOM, the IC706. If you have one spare and surplus your requirement, please contact Mark, VK6BSA. His email address, once again, is VK6BravoSierraAlpha@gmail.com. And if you have any items for next week's broadcast, please contact me. The address is VK6XRayVictor@bigpond.com, and I will expedite your request ASAP. And until next week, thank you once again for listening. This is Roy, VK6XRayVictor73.
Hi there, it's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWestWeeklyPodcast-KiluZulu7YankeeCharlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.